I'm asking you to turn to Habakkuk, chapter 3. Now, that's not a book we usually preach from very often, so I'll give you a moment to find Habakkuk. Chapter 3. Habakkuk chapter 3, and I'll be reading verses 17 through 19. I'll ask you to stand with me as we read the Word of God. Habakkuk chapter 3, everybody got it? Okay, Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive tree shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like the hinds' feet, and will make me to walk upon mine high places, the chief singer of my stringed instruments. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know that you are good to us all the time, even when we are not good. You're trustworthy, even when we are not trustworthy. You love us, even though we are unlovely at times. You came through when we've fallen apart. Teach us, Lord, to give what we need to you of our lives, of our all, so that you could use us. Open our hearts today, I pray. Help us to be better people, to live the kind of lives that will please you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thank you, you may be seated. How are you doing in this pandemic or this crisis that we've been going through? I think all of us have been affected in various ways. In my part-time, I drive a shuttle for the GM dealership in Barrie in the afternoons, so I meet a lot of people. And I see people affected in different ways by this pandemic. And I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but I think people are becoming grumpier. And I said to my wife a couple months ago, I said, honey, I need to apologize to you. I said, I think I've been kind of grumpy lately. She said, yep. and you know, all of us probably from time to time need to admit that sometimes we're not as joyful as we ought to be, as happy as we ought to be, and it's easy to be grumpy. And one day there was an elderly woman who suffered chronic and painful illness, and her pastor went to visit her to see how she was doing, and he was surprised to find her very joyful and happy and smiling. And he asked her, why are you so joyful? And she said, well, there's this lovely robin that comes and sits outside my window, and I love it so much because it even sings during the rain. You know, we kind of got to be like that, don't we, to learn to sing in the rain. When the storms silence other birds, the robins are right there singing, maybe because the rain's going to bring worms up on the ground that they can eat. But singing in the sunshine is not always easy. And I mean, singing in the sunshine is easy, but singing when the storms of life come, it's not always easy to do that. And we can have good, solid doctrine when things are going well, but sometimes our doctrines kind of fall apart when troubles come and when we face difficulties. Well, I want to talk to you this morning about what to do in a crisis. We're looking here at Habakkuk chapter 3, and Habakkuk seems to be struggling with some confusion and some doubt. He doesn't know why God does things in a certain way, and Habakkuk is almost saying, why, God? Why do you allow these things? And some of you, no doubt, have been asking God that same kind of question. You've been saying, God, why have you allowed this crisis? Why COVID-19? Why did I lose my job? Why did I lose my health? But Habakkuk here moves past his doubts and questions as he comes to the end of the book. And finally, it seems to me that he accepts God's plan. He accepts that God is God and we are not. And that's an important thing to face. And he makes a commitment before God. He says, I'm going to choose to rejoice when I'm facing trials. First thing I want you to see this morning is you will face trials. Now, this is not news to any of you. And Habakkuk lists some of the worst trials that people in his day could face. I don't know if Habakkuk was a farmer or not, but he uses a farming illustration here to talk about how difficult things were. And most farmers could relate to what Habakkuk's saying. You see, back in that day, almost everybody lived off the land. And that's not the case today. But in these verses, we see fig trees and grapes and olives, that these are all mentioned. And one of the interesting thing about all three of these is that it takes 3 to 5 years for these to bear fruit, the fig trees, the grapes, and the olives. So in other words, the farmer has to plant it, and he has to trim it, and he has to tend to it, and he has to till it, and fertilize it, and all the rest, for a period of 3 to 5 years before he expects to get any fruit from these at all. So it takes a long time, term commitment, and a lot of work that is put in. And the farmer needs a good return on these things. Just like any farmer, he invests in his crop, and that's where he puts his money, and he needs a return from that. And after some years, he's looking for the harvest. And so naturally, the farmer walks through his fields to examine his trees and his vines, but he doesn't see what he expected to see or hoped to see. After waiting 3 or more years, what we have here in verse 17 is that there's nothing. The fig tree is not blossoming. There's no fruit on the vines. The olive tree has failed. The fields yield no meat. Well, this is a nightmare for a farmer. He has a complete crop failure. What's he going to do? It seems that he can't reason why this has happened. He can't understand why it has happened. Why are these completely barren? He has done all his work for nothing. No food, none. And it's not just a bad crop, it's no crop whatsoever. I don't know if you've ever been in the hospital and you hear different codes that are called out. Code orange means disaster, and that's the worst code you can hear. Code red means fire. Habakkuk was hearing a code orange here. Crop failure, disaster for him. And we need to all be ready, because disasters will come. They will happen. Probably everybody in this room, except the youngest, remember 9/11. And that was one of the biggest disasters of our time. You can tell me where you were when 9/11 took place and what the circumstances were around that. And COVID-19 is not the first pandemic that the world has ever had. You can Google it and you can find that there have been many plagues over the years. They're recorded in history. But COVID-19 is our disaster. It's our code orange, if you please. And this is true not only in the physical realm, but also in the spiritual realm. We live in a sinful, fallen world. That which the Bible calls evil, our society calls good. That which the Bible calls sinful, our society plans a month-long celebration of that sin and has parades and so on all over the place. They paint rainbows on crosswalks and all the rest to celebrate that which God abhors, which God calls an abomination. So that's the kind of day that we are living in. And the Bible says that we would live in a day when good would be called evil and evil would be called good, and we live in that day. But child of God, remember, Jesus warned us, in this world, ye shall suffer tribulation. And we've got to expect that. There's a false prosperity gospel around. You can find them on many television programs. Somebody's smiling and telling you everything's good, everything's going to be fine, and there's no trouble, and just do what God wants you to do and you will prosper. Mrs. K, I see you've lost a lot of weight. That's a great thing to be able to do that. I found it, what you lost. And here in Canada, this tummy is called fat. But I've made many trips to the Philippines, and there they tell me I look prosperous. You see, there, if you have a big tummy, it means you have more food than you need. And here, we just don't eat right sometimes, don't exercise properly, and so we end up with big tummies. Now, in Habakkuk's day, they had a prosperous time. You can study the biblical history about this. They got to the point, however, and sometimes this happens during prosperity, we get to the point we feel we no longer need God. We can handle this now all by ourselves. And I think that's one of the positions that Canada's in. That's one of the reasons it's hard to reach souls with the gospel of Jesus Christ. They have their prosperity. They've got their job security. They've got, and if anything fails like it has during COVID-19, the government's right there to say, we'll pay you. I got laid off for 2 months during COVID-19 from my shuttle driver's job. The government paid me more to stay home than I was making driving the shuttle. That's why a lot of people don't want to go back to work now. And you see hiring signs all over the place. But we live in a prosperous nation. And I think that sometimes in prosperity, it's easy for people to forget about God. And I think the devil was thinking, well, we can shut down the churches during this COVID-19 and we'll just destroy them. But the churches went online. And you mentioned you've had some new people come in and visitors. Same thing in Barrie. We've got new families that have come during COVID because they saw it online. And so the devil meant it for evil, but God can use it for good. And we've got to understand that's often the way it works in difficult situations. We don't understand how God's working. We just need to let him work. And in Habakkuk's day, the people didn't feel like they needed God's help anymore. They could handle things on their own. They still had a certain faith, but it was a perverted version of that faith. And so God sent in the Babylonians. And this didn't fit into the plan of God's people. Why would God allow the Babylonians to come in and fight them and kill them and take them away into captivity? God sent a drought. That didn't fit into their plans either. Why would God send a drought? God sent them a solution, but they didn't want God's plan. His solution was not in their plans. It's like a person who wants to lose weight, but he doesn't want to follow the diet. He'd like to lose weight, but exercise? You got to be kidding me. You see, we want a solution, but we don't want God's solution. Sometimes in marriage problems, we don't want to do what it takes to fix a marriage, fix issues and problems in a marriage, and God does have solutions for that. So when the people didn't want God's solution in Habakkuk's day, God brought in this ungodly nation, the Babylonians, to discipline his people. All God wanted was for his people to get right. And that's usually what God wants from us. He wants to get our attention sometimes. And we know that a lot of things have happened. A lot of things happened to the Jewish people during their captivity of 70 years. But at the end of that 70 years, they were ready to return home and serve God. And during this COVID crisis, we know that some people have lost fortunes, others have made fortunes. Some have lost their jobs, some have lost their businesses, some have lost their homes. What is God doing? I'm not sure, But I think God may be telling us, his people, get your eyes off of material things and get your eyes on me. So here's Habakkuk out in his field examining his fruit. And the trials only get worse. You can imagine the panic that must have set into his heart as he checked out his fields and they were bare. And what was he going to do? Well, maybe he thought, how am I going to feed my family in the coming year? Well, as he thought about it, he thought, wait a minute. I've got some sheep and I've got some cattle and I'll just sell some of them and I'll be okay. But at the end of the verse there, it says, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. So he went to check out his stock, and he had none. It had gone, it had disappeared. And so that which he was counting on, was no longer there for him to use. And so the trial that Habakkuk describes here came all of a sudden, seemed to have come upon him without warning. It's kind of like this COVID-19 that came upon us. It happened quickly, and it has been severe, and it has caused a lot of problems and a lot of difficulty. And it's not the normal level of trial that we're used to facing. Can you see Habakkuk standing there? I think his heart would have been beating pretty hard. Maybe he would even be starting to shake. What am I going to do? My crops are gone. My cattle are gone. I have nothing to take care of my family. What am I going to do? And no answers came. Why? How? Why me? Habakkuk basically describes the worst nightmare that a farmer could face. And maybe you feel like that sometimes. You're planting, but you're not harvesting. You're sowing, but you're not reaping. You're working as hard as you can, but it's not working. And I believe we need to admit today that we need fixing. And we have to ask God, what are you trying to show me? Get our eyes off the material. What do you want to do with me? You see, we can't do it ourselves. We need God. And we need him to fix us. And I think God is saying, we want to change the outside, but God wants to change the inside. And so we need to allow God to fix us on the inside. We want to fix the bank account, but God's more interested in fixing our hearts. We need to learn to humble ourselves and pray, seek God's face. We need to admit that to God that we're broken and that we've trusted material things and that we've watched how quickly material things can be taken from us. If you have investments in the stock market, you probably watch the stock market every day. Because you realize that if the stock market crashes, you could be in trouble. A farmer can work as hard as he wants to work. But if God doesn't send the rain, he'll get no crop. So we need to acknowledge our plight today. We need to stop pretending that we're fine and everything's okay, because everything is not good. It's time that we sing and mean what that old Southern spiritual says, it's a me, it's a me, it's a me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. And stop pointing our fingers at everybody else and have God fix us and take care of us. We could still buy food during the worst of this pandemic, so most of us were not worried. We could still go to our refrigerator and there was something there. But Habakkuk could not do that. How might Habakkuk say, what might he say to convey the idea if he lived in modern Canada? He might say, my salary stopped. I realized suddenly my job is gone. He might say, though my bank account is empty, though my refrigerator is empty, though there's no food on the table, he describes this catastrophe and it's sudden and it's severe, and yet I love verse 18. Circle that word yet in your Bibles. He says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Oh, I like that. Now, that word yet is a contrast word, but it's also a connecting word. And yes, things are bad, but God's still God. Yes, things are difficult, but he's still on the throne. God has not been fazed a bit by this COVID-19 pandemic that we've been going through. We might have been fazed by it, but not God. Yes, things are bad, but God is still good, and he can work it out. Now notice what he says. Yet will I rejoice in the Lord, I will joy, excuse me, in the God of my salvation. And joy here is not a feeling, it's an affirmation. Habakkuk says, yet I will. He's making a decision. I will rejoice in the Lord. He's saying, God's character is so consistent that even when I don't feel blessed, I will rejoice. I'm not going to allow external circumstances to control my joy. Oh, we need that, don't we? When the kids are bad, you can still rejoice in the Lord. When the bank account's empty, you can still rejoice in the Lord. When the weather's bad, you can still rejoice in the Lord. You have to determine, I will rejoice in the Lord. And that word joy, that word rejoice there in the Hebrew also means to leap. And the word joy also means to spin around. Now, I'm not going to try that because I'd probably fall down. But can you see Habakkuk out there in his field? His fields are barren, his stalls are empty. And he said, wait a minute, I'm not going to let this defeat me. And he jumps up and he spins around and he says, praise God from whom all blessings flow. He's rejoicing. He said, yet I will rejoice. That's what you do in a crisis. You don't let it get you down. You rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Determine that you will rejoice. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Leaping, spinning around, shouting praises. And in other words, don't wait on the government to send you a check to rejoice. It might never happen. Don't wait on them to save you during this health crisis. But God is waiting on us to spin around and jump up in the air and shout our praises to him. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord, the God of my salvation. Heck, you can't lose that. Crop failure doesn't affect your salvation. Empty bank account doesn't affect your salvation. No matter what you go through, the death of a loved one doesn't affect your salvation. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Have you ever been on a plane when the thermostat has been set to freezing? Anybody like that? The last trip I took to the Philippines just before COVID, it was like that. And I'd been on one of those. I'd been on those long trips a number of times. So I put a sweater on, had a coat on, and as up there flying, it was a 15-hour flight from Toronto to Manila. And after a while, everybody's kind of huddled in blankets and so on. And the flight attendant came by and I said, "Ma'am, I'm wondering if it's possible to turn up the heat a little bit." She said, I'll check into that for you." She didn't. But I think we need to ask God to turn up the temperature in our souls today. Lord, I'm not where I should be. I'm not what I should be. Help me, Lord. Turn up the temperature of my soul. We need, what was he rejoicing about? He said, the God of my salvation. That's worth rejoicing about. That's worth praising God about. Salvation. Jesus came to earth. We can thank him for his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension into heaven. And he's sitting now in the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. Wow, that's worth praising God about. That's worth rejoicing about. He is my salvation. Is he yours? Can you look at a time? Can you tell me a time in your life when you were born again into the family of God? He is my salvation. So what's Habakkuk's situation? He's shouting in an empty field, but it won't be empty forever. So he said, I will rejoice. And in verse 19, he said, The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet. I believe that many of us are facing trials. And some of you are facing maybe health issues. The doctor has called and said, look, I have the results of that test. I need you to come into the office. And pain strikes your heart. And what's going to happen? What's going to happen when the doctor says you've got this illness and I don't think we can help you? Others have frequent sicknesses. And these are only a few trials that I know that God's people go through. I believe that there are many trials that our fellowships go through that are unseen. People just don't talk about it. Some of the trials are short term. Some of the trials are long term. Some of you have hopes for the future and for your family. And maybe you have children and you're praying about what you'd like to see with those children. And just keep on praying and asking God to help you. These are not easy things. The easy thing is giving birth. Right, ladies? I often have said, you ladies don't know how much we men suffer when you're giving birth. It's tough on the man. Amen, gentlemen? I know, but the tough part is raising the children. That's where the real work comes in. That's where the real trials come in. Not easy things. It's challenging. And if I stood up here today and said to you, look, don't worry, everything's going to be okay. I don't know that. And I might quote you some scriptures that give you some assurance and so on. But I cannot possibly understand the difficulty that you may be going through or the problem that you may be experiencing. I haven't faced the same things you have, and so I can't feel what you're feeling. And yet I'm standing here today because God's truth is still true even when we don't understand it. Did you hear that? God's truth is still true even when we don't understand it. He's still on the throne. He's still good. He still does love you. He still does have a plan for your life. And the power of his word speaks to our life situations, regardless of the messenger. It's easy for us to focus on our trials and forget about the many blessings that God gives to us. I like that hymn, Count Your Blessings, Name Them One by One, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. When we doubt God's goodness, slowly but surely, fears creep in. And when we face trials, we may complain instead of seeing them as being good for us. But I want to tell you this morning that trials have a purpose. We can't always see it, especially at the beginning or while we're in the midst of the trial. But later on, we can look back on it and see that God worked through that trial. He worked on us. He worked on situations. So God uses trials to build our character. In the book of Habakkuk, we can see the Israelites are going to face serious trials and defeats and go into exile. And for 70 years, they'd be forced to be subjects of a foreign kingdom far away from home. And yet God used this to turn their hearts back to him. And God wants to use trials to strengthen us and bring us back as well. The Israelites faced a trial of discipline because of their sin. Sometimes a trial could come because of our own poor choices. And sometimes trials come because it's a discipline from the Lord. No matter what the source of the trial, sometimes we just need to say, God, I'm willing to change my behavior. Show me if there's anything in my life that is offensive to you, and I'll change my behavior. I'll change that and allow God to work. The final thing I want you to see today is we don't face trials alone. We're part of a family. It's a wonderful thing about being a part of a fellowship. We are a family in Christ Jesus. And a family should be there for each other. If one of you get COVID, the other should be contacting them on a regular basis. Say, "What? How can I help you? Bring some food over, do something." Contact them. Let them know that you're there for them. And not just COVID, but other situations as well. Sometimes people are going through difficulties and you say, "Well, I just don't know what to say." Well, you don't need to say anything, but do something. Just show your love. A family should be there for each other. And today I mentioned a few of the trials that some of you no doubt have faced or will face, but there are many more all around you. Look around for a moment. Many of the people you see are facing trials right now. Some are feeling weak and discouraged. Some are feeling alone. Do you even know about it? Maybe not. And if you do know, are you doing anything about it? Listen to each other. Talk to each other. Comfort each other. Pray for each other. Encourage each other. These are all biblical concepts I'm giving you today. And sometimes physical help is needed. May I suggest that you don't just say to somebody, "If there's anything I can do for you, let me know." Most people won't let you know. They're shy. They don't want to feel that you're asking for anything, that they're asking for anything. But rather just give them some help of some sort. Observe their situation. Offer what you can in a very specific way that you can minister to them. All of these things will help your church to continue on, to grow, to multiply, to reach out into this community. Now, perhaps some of you have not responded well to the trials of life. Perhaps you've complained. Perhaps you've been short-tempered. Maybe you're easily irritated. Perhaps you have even allowed anger toward the Lord to build up in your hearts. Are you willing today to make a decision to respond to that trial with joy? Do like Habakkuk did. "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord of my salvation." I hope that you do that. Joy comes from the Lord. God gives you strength to face trials. He helps you stand on rocky ground. And that's what he says again in verse number 19. "He makes my feet like the hind's feet." Now, what is this animal that he's talking about? Any of you ever been to Israel? Okay. You've probably seen while you were there that Israel's topography is rugged in areas. And there's a large, what they call, wilderness area. And it's not like our wilderness with trees and everything. It's more rugged desert sort of that they call wilderness. And the land there in Israel goes from 430 meters below sea level to 1,300 meters above sea level in just a short distance. So there are a lot of rocky cliffs. And living in those rocky cliffs, there's an amazing little creature that we call an ibex. And these little animals are extremely sure-footed. They can almost climb up a sheer cliff, just jumping from rock to rock, and their feet are such that they can cling to those rocks and leap onto the next one and so on. And I think that's probably the animal that Habakkuk was referring to here when he talked about the hind's feet. And you see, when there's pitfalls maybe all around you, at any moment you could slip and fall, but God gives you strength. And sometimes you won't know that until you go through the trial. God gives you solid footing. You can count on it, and you can keep from falling. You don't have to be a shipwreck. You can be secure. During this time of COVID, when we still are not back to normal, may I suggest that each of us get close to God. Spend extra time in prayer. Spend extra time reading your Bible. Spend extra time in Bible memorization. And the Holy Spirit will use these truths during this time and those that you've already learned to give you strength. And you can come through this crisis stronger than you went into it. May the Lord help you do that. The songwriter said, I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward go, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. And on it goes. May God help us to find that higher ground. May God help us to be victorious during this COVID-19 crisis, during this pandemic. May God help us to rejoice in the Lord. And I tell you, you will stand out from the people around you. They will see that you're a happy, rejoicing Christian. May God help us in this day. And again, the hymn writer said, I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright. Still praying as, still I'll pray till heaven I found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your precious word. Thank you for what you've taught us even today by reading these few verses. And I pray, Lord, that your hand would be upon each one of us in a special way in the days to come. Show us if there are things in our lives that you're trying to do, areas you're trying to work. I pray that you would help us develop character and a strength, I pray. No doubt, Lord, some people here are going through some trials right now. Maybe nobody knows about those trials, and they need your help, your strength, your protection. Watch over them, I pray. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed for a moment. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, I wonder if we have those that say, Brother Pennell, God spoke to my heart through that message today. I've been going through something, and now I understand what God's trying to do to me, what God's trying to teach me. Pray for me that God will give me strength. Would you raise your hand long enough for me to see it? Put it right back down. Thank you so much. Thank you. Others, you say, God's speaking to me this morning. Pray for me. Any others? Thank you. Head still bowed, eyes still closed. I wonder if we have those here that say, Brother Pennell, I'm not saved. If I died today, I don't have the assurance in my heart that I would go to heaven. But I'd sure like to know that. Pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you slip your hand up long enough for me to see it and put it back down? Thank you. Anybody else? Heavenly Father, I pray as the pastor comes that each need would be met today. I pray for those who've raised their hands that you're dealing with and speaking to. And it may be, Lord, you're speaking to all of them about different things. I pray that today they would know that you're going to answer their prayers and feel your strength coming into them. Help them from this day forward to rejoice in the God of their salvation. And if there's one that's not sure of salvation, I pray today they might come to thee. For these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.